So tell me about your first sexual experience. Go.
Oh, well, it was the night of the movie Speed Racer coming out. It's a very fond memory, let me tell you. Randy Weatherman picked me up in his Jeep and took me to my girlfriend, where we would then bone.
Wow.
And that's a true story. I just said it
And
really
you
weird.
turned 25 that year. Oof.
And it was last year. Well, I guess that's a good way to start it.
Speed racer.
That is true, though. I did bone the night Speed Racer came out.
Mine.
I gave my V card to the M car. I don't know.
Interesting enough, I was with a girl that I did not know that she was like a horror gal, which usually they're pretty kind of upfront with that kind of thing. And it
So
was.
to clarify, a horror genre. She's not
Right.
a horror
No. Three R's.
gal.
And it was The Bride of Chucky. And I was like, wow, that fucking took a turn.
She really wanted to see Bride of Chucky, huh?
I'm a giver, is what I am. So.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I'm the dude.
What is it?
It's the one that said bad motherfucker.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
We're sending you back to the future!
All right, welcome back to the cinema experience of podcasts, if that makes sense. I'm your host, Nick Drake.
And I'm Jordan Nomore, and this is Flick of the Week.
Today we're talking about Tom Spanks.
Tom Hanks.
And his wonderful movies and charm and
I can
things
tell
like
you had a
that.
little bit of a pause there. You really wanted me to say something funny, and I just said his name.
And I thought you might say,
Sorry.
like, shaving Ryan's privates or something like
Genius.
that. Oh,
First
well.
thing he ever was on was Love Boat, believe it or not.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Have you seen, so real quick, the Love Boat, there's a lot of these older shows that they turn a few into movies, like Chips, for instance. And now I saw that they're doing Fantasy Island.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it's a horror movie. Horror.
Oh, wow. I didn't click it to find that
Yeah, it's got Michael Pena, who was also in Chips, so that's weird. The movie, and yeah, it's like, and it had the little guy from Man with the Golden Gun, James Bond, going, "De plane, de plane," and it's just like a regular chick that's like, "Oh, de plane is here," like on her Instagram doing it. Stupid. I was like immediately like, really? You couldn't even like. You just don't even do it if you're not gonna go, all the way with that. Like, seriously. So
Wow.
immediately I'm like, you're a rental. But
That's funny.
we're not talking
Now,
about
actually,
things like
I
that
mean,
today, are we?
what are we talking about?
Talking
I thought we
about
were talking
Tom
about
Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he's not one to have too many stinkers. I can't really think of a
Not really,
bad
no.
Tom Hanks. I mean, maybe there was just a couple that I was like, kind of silly, but
There's meh movies.
yeah, some mess. No, like crash and burns, really. Although that one, The Lady Killers, which I liked, it did like really bad in
I
the
like
box
that too.
office.
Yeah.
I thought it
That's
was
weird.
pretty charming film. The Coen brothers for that, right? Wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a
The
little
all
different.
the I've only seen that once, and I did like it, but the one thing that I remember the most is one of the guys that was helping with the robbery or whatever,
The Wayans
was
brother.
it? No, it was the older Asian gentleman.
Okay.
He smoked constantly, and then he did, and then the old lady didn't want anyone smoking in the house. So like when she opened the door and looked in there, he hid it in his mouth, like in
Yes,
a
I
single
remember that.
swoop.
And the
I'd
last time
never
he
forget
killed
that.
himself on accident or something, he
Yeah.
like does it successfully like, all the way till he dies. That was a pretty good one. But
So
Tom
it
Hanks,
says,
man, he's like the master of like real people, apparently.
yeah, in the more recent years,
More recent years. I mean, Philadelphia was like a big hit, and that was like a true story.
Yeah.
You ever seen
it, like for the yeah, I've seen Philadelphia.
No, I mean, have you seen The Family Guy for that?
No.
They're like, oh, there's Tom Hanks. Everything he says is a stitch. And they go to Philadelphia. He's like, I have AIDS. Bah! What the fuck? Good times. What were you going to say? I'm sure something a little more professional.
Oh, I'm just looking at his IMDb and I'm actually, it's funny because you just called and, you know, we were setting up for this episode and you're like, you know, I don't know I didn't know what we were about to talk about. You kind of told me just before we started recording, and about 10 minutes before that, I was watching the actor on actor, like behind the studio thing that, Actors on Actors, like okay. Vanity Fair or something.
Yeah.
They just had one for Tom Hanks and Renee Zellweger.
Oof, she
kind of. I was just watching that. She's kind of looking.
She took a turn. Old. She was like big I think hit. It's and
the plastic surgery.
That did not go well. She did. There's a few actresses that have done that and just have not seen any success. She doesn't look better. Like, I don't get it. She looked fine. What was the. I don't get what she was trying to accomplish.
I think she just got. She had such an iconic face for years, and then she got lip like injections.
A cute little full face, you know? I think of Jerry Maguire, you know?
Yeah.
Now she looks like my neighbor. Like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. But, and also, you know what's crazy? I guess I've never seen an interview with her. I didn't know she had a little southern twang accent.
She does a little bit.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I had no clue. I guess I just never seen an interview with her. I've just seen her in movies and stuff.
Nobody has in forever. She hasn't been in a good movie in, like, I don't know, 5 years or something.
But she's coming out with, what's that one called?
She has a show on Netflix that I don't think I'll watch, but, you know, it's not Small Feet or anything. That's usually a pretty good sign. You have some job security in the acting biz.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks should get a show. I would watch that all the time.
I think he's like, and I hope he never changes. He's just kind of Mr. He seems like such a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like outside of his acting, he's just living life and enjoying being old. And then he just picks up on a movie every once in a while when it's really good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always like, it's got to be someone real, someone inspirational, you know? Or it's got to be Woody.
Yeah. Well, so. You know, I just watched him. He's like a big typewriter guy. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
He's a collector, connoisseur. I just watched a documentary called California Typewriter, and he's in it. Mm-hmm. And, man, that guy just has such an affinity for writing and typewriters and all that kind of stuff. And it just makes you – it just seems like he's kind of your younger cool grandpa. Like mm-hmm. he's just like the one you would hang out with, you know.
He is kind of weird on Instagram though.
Is he?
So he's on Instagram, but he never really like he'll occasionally post a picture of himself doing something. Like the one time, you know, you've probably seen that iconic photo of him like with a guy who looks like he's drunk at a restaurant.
Yeah, he took that in his photo when the guy passed out or something.
I've heard that it was a prank on somebody. Like the guy wasn't really that fucked up, but they wanted to like make it instead of just a picture with Tom Hanks. It's like, oh, can you like make it look like you came over and I was fucking passed out or something? And you're like, looking at him, some kind of frat boy like picture.
Either
I don't
way.
Think it was real. I don't know. Somebody do the research. I'm not gonna do it. Too lazy. what is that thing you said last time in the episode? You're like speak, like ramble while I.
Oh yeah. Pander.
Look that up while I banter. Look that up while I pander. But no, his Instagram is just littered with pictures of like lost or like thrown out gloves or socks. He'll see like a latex glove on the side of the road and he'll take a picture and he'll write a little poem about it, about that lost glove. And it's weirdly like, it's like, oh, that's interesting. But at the same time, I'm like, this is really weird because he's never, never, ever seen a celebrity do something like this before. You know?
maybe he has lost his marbles finally, but because he's Tom Hanks, like, everybody will just laugh with him, and, like, we'll find out, like, much later he had Alzheimer's and we should have been helping him this whole time.
Honestly, I think it's the opposite.
Okay,
I think
fine.
I think he is a totally normal person. It's just that is his form of expression, and it's just a little bizarre. But maybe it's
mine
also kind of
cooler,
a mirror.
Just saying.
You know, Nick, just keep telling yourself. Anyway. I think he's like, I mean, I just watched that interview and he seemed more normal than ever. He's just like this, like, you know, and it's kind of funny because I always look up to him in movies as like, God, he's just so inspirational. His characters are always so like, at the end of a movie that had Tom Hanks in it, you want to get up and like go and help your neighbor with something or like save the world, you know, you feel like empowered. But then he's sitting there in an interview and he's just like, oh, he's a regular guy. Like, his story's kind of boring. He's starting to tell a story about how he got into acting.
Yeah, come on, cheat on somebody, Tom. Come on, do something. Poke him with a stick. Like, come on.
Poke him with a stick from off stage, off camera. Just like,
well, you know, and
be interesting.
Be interesting. The thing, like, actors playing true stories and like real people usually garner awards. People want to be careful. Tom Hanks, though, has done it so many times. It is crazy. I don't think you know, like, the level we're on with it. Like, I think Joaquin Phoenix did it, like, once with Johnny Cash, and, like, mm-hmm. people adore him. And I'm like, holy crap, man. Tom Hanks, like, makes that, like, you know, chopped liver. Let me just go over a list of, like, real people that he's played in movies. All right, I'll list the movies just to be easy. A League of Their Own, Philadelphia, Apollo 13. mm-hmm. Let's see here. Not Toy Story. Catch Me If You Can. Mm-hmm. Looking through here. Depending if you believe in Santa, The Polar Express. Charlie Wilson War.
About Catch Me If You Can. Isn't he like an amalgam of people? He's not one person.
Well,
or was it Carl Hanratty was like,
I don't think that was the
person.
Real guy's name, but he did play like a legit person that, like, you have to keep it to the, and if you watch the behind the scenes, it's like, he's really going into it with a guy that was really around at that time. He's like, did people hold their guns like this in, you know, the 60s when they broke into a room? So, you know, take or leave it on that one if you want. Mm-hmm. But I'm up to five so far. Captain Phillips. Mm-hmm. Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
Bridge of Spies, I'm 99% sure. Some people have said no, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure that is. And then Sully. The Post. That was a legit dude. And we're at 10.
So there's the one. Okay. That you said, we talked about earlier in the episode, if there was a bad Tom Hanks movie, and I say The Post was a bad movie.
I didn't even watch it. It didn't look captivating at all.
Here's my thought on that. It was rushed just for award season, and somehow, just because it was Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, and Steven Spielberg, it got nominated, and I'm actually surprised that it won some stuff. I'm just like, this movie is boring. and it was the same year that Spielberg made Ready Player One, so I know what was going on. He's making Ready Player One this fun big movie that's definitely not going to win any awards, and it's totally Spielberg, but he's got this new reputation that he started that was part of the trajectory. God dang it, Jordan. Just had a fucking aneurysm. The trajectory of his career that changed after Schindler's List. It's like, oh, everything's got to be kind of serious. And so I feel like they just threw that script on his desk, and it's like, well, let's make this. You know, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks are available right now. Bam. And they made it within 3 months. I watched this whole thing about it. I'm like, the script, from script to screen, 3 months. I'm like, what?
Holy crap.
There's a reason why that movie isn't that good.
I was like, this was like boring as hell from the preview. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's hard to do with that lineup of people.
And but it looks sloppy. When you actually watch the movie, it's sloppy.
Now I want to just watch it even less. Mm-hmm. And then now he's Mr. Rogers. Yes. And not only that, he still has like one or two coming up in the in future years where he's playing real people. So that's 11 now. 11, Jordan. I don't think anybody 11. Else has done that. I am like 100% sure. Like that's a feat that nobody else has even attempted. Like, so many people were like, no, I won't take that role. I don't want to, you know, it seems too tough. But he's like, yeah, screw it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I was actually talking to my buddy Sean about this yesterday. About I saw the poster for, what the fuck are we talking about?
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yes.
It's not called Mr. Rogers.
I was about to say that. It's a good thing you corrected me. But yeah, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood poster is up on Hollywood, and I was looking at it, and I just like he looks nothing like Mr. Rogers. They just did some prosthetic eyebrows and some gray hair, but it's like
don't forget the sweater.
The sweater and the you know tossing the little shoe. Won't you be my neighbor? But once you put him in that role, we have as an audience that knows and loves Tom Hanks in movies. There's that you just automatically have the suspension of disbelief. You're like, I'm willing to go along on this journey because Tom Hanks has the embodiment of someone that you can trust in movies.
That's how I was for Mr. Banks, Saving Mr. Banks, and I didn't have a single problem with it. And then people kind of ruined it for me. They're like, it's just Tom Hanks with a mustache. That's it.
It's really, well, I mean, like, Tom, he used to go up and down and wait and stuff and try and morph himself like he did in Castaway and Philadelphia and stuff. But it's like I think he's the one who has like diabetes or something, and he's can't now. He can't do it.
He legit has diabetes.
I think it's like I don't know that I'm not medically savvy, but it's like the kind that you don't have to take insulin for. It's like
oh, the good diabetes.
The good diabetes, of course. No, it's like a pre-diabetic or whatever.
That was like
his doctors warned him that he can't do that anymore. He can't forcibly change his weight and do dietary changes. He has to just stick to a healthy diet. So that's where he's at. So like the weight that like I noticed him in this interview, the Vanity Fair thing. He looked a little skinnier than normal, but I think that's just naturally. He's like, oh, he's just getting older, he's just thinning out, you know.
Yeah.
But he looked a little bit thicker, ironically, in that Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
He looked kind of thick in Cloud Atlas. What's your thoughts on that movie?
He looked like you know, Tom Hanks pre FedEx or pre Castaway, you know, like the early Castaway.
But no, I mean the movie itself, because it is a crazy freaking. I don't even know what it is. He doesn't know what it is. He said it in the. He's like, I still have no idea what that movie is.
Isn't it like a? Wasn't it like a Scientologist funded escapade?
It was that I was not aware of, and I don't see why they would. Some
Mormon or Scientology, like some church, like funded that through back channels or something, and it's like this big.
What?
It's essentially the whole story is related to. Eternal life and like being reincarnated and like how love is like eternal. So like if you're in love with this person, you're going to be in love with them in all of your future lives. And
have you seen it though?
I have. I saw it in theaters and I was blown the fuck away. It was like a fun experience to see in theaters. It's like, and it must have been cool to make as an actor to be like, I get to play like six versions of this person. You know, one of them doesn't even speak English. You know.
Well, so. Yeah, like, it was like a caveman, and he has vision, and then they're in the future, and some of it was like almost Charles Dickens, and you're like, what the fuck? What is this movie?
It's definitely religious undertones.
The Wachowski, is it Sisters now, made that movie? I'm not even making a joke. Yeah. I think they are. I think like the last movie they made... Like, they changed it, and it says, made by the Wachowski sister. Wachowski? It was Sisters. And then everybody was like, yes! They did it! And I was like, cool. You know, whatever. Good for you.
Yeah. You know what? I haven't seen Charlie Wilson's War. Is that any good?
I liked it. It was, you know, people that do stupid political things online about, oh, you know, everything about the Taliban, yada, yada, yada. You know, I'm like, you know, where are the people that tried to help these people before they were terrorists, just so you know? So it's not really, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but as a veteran, it's like some people just need to do some due diligence and actually look into some history before they open their mouths. That's all I'll go into. Mm-hmm. And this That's movie cool. definitely goes into it a bit more. So it's a bit mm-hmm. of an eye opener, I would think, for this generation.
Mm-hmm. So the Cloud Atlas definition here, or bio of the movie, an exploration of how the actions of individual lives impact one another in the past, present, and future. As one soul is shaped from a killer into a hero, and an act of kindness ripples across centuries to inspire a revolution. Yeah, it's fucking religious.
I didn't feel that it was religious at all. I would think like a church would be like, well, what the hell is this thing but a caveman and he's seeing like a monster in his dreams. This is sacrilegious, you know, something like that. I don't know. Hugh Grant plays some crazy people in that movie. Like, you didn't even know it was him. It was like so good.
I'm gonna Google this. I bet someone else is better explain this. Cloud Atlas. what's the line again? You know, look this up while I can't fucking remember what you said. Cloud Atlas.
I like Halle Berry when they're cavemen in that like part of the anthology. They're like, is that the true? Yeah, that's the true. Well, let's talk about Tom Hanks, though. The reason why we're here today.
He's on the true.
Real talk.
That's the new real talk.
Yeah, exactly. How far we have come. He's played some real people. He apparently...
Oh, you're leaving one out that's... Oh, no, that's a fake.
Oh, okay.
Or was it real? I don't know.
What?
The other Tom Hanks Spielberg collaboration, Terminal?
I didn't think that was real. Is that real?
Nah, I don't know. I feel like that's based on like some kind of real
events. I feel
events.
Like there was a story about it, and then they were like, let's make it a film.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I digress.
Not true.
Not on the true. From Krakosia. That's one of my favorite roles for him, too.
Oh, yeah, so good.
I wish that was on like Netflix or something right now. Oh, and by the way, Disney Plus is a liar. They said every Disney movie will be on there, and it's not. I don't see one Angels in the Outfield, and my wife picked up, they only have Life Size 2, not the first one that everybody wants to watch. Mm. So, you lied, and I feel like there's a lawsuit coming. Not for me, because I still like those other movies. You're lucky. You're lucky, Disney. But in
I found out that Verizon, I have Verizon for my cell phone, and they offer a free year of Disney Plus. So I think I'm going to get in on that.
Maybe, but let me point this out. T-Mobile pays for your Netflix in whole.
Are you trying to make me jump ship from Verizon?
I'm just saying. But dang. I actually bought it, like I was one of the founders, I guess. I'm a founder of Disney, if you didn't know. Wow. No, but they had a thing called the Founder Circle for people that bought this like months ahead, and they paid $140 for Disney Plus for 3 years. I was like, that sounds like a deal, because that's like 1 year of, you know, Hulu. So, and then it's only $70 a year after that. So basically, I technically got like 2 years free for anybody that's paying normal price.
Dang.
So I'm a wizard. That's what I'm saying. They do have Sword in the Stone, by the way, which is like my favorite cartoon.
Oh yeah, that's a good
one. they put a disclaimer, because like people are like really like worried about, and I guess this kind of works because Tom Hanks is in a lot of Disney movies. Anyway, but they put a disclaimer because, like, some of the movies have since, through the ages, have grown and they would be deemed racist today. And so they put, like, some crazy disclaimer. I don't know if you can find that. Look that up while I pander. It's like, you know, not all the opinions expressed reflect how, you know, our morals are today or something crazy like that. Like Songs of the South. And I guess Dumbo's
Disney
got some.
Plus, I got the article here. Disney Plus adds disclaimer about racist movie stereotypes. Let's see if it has the text.
It's just like, dang. Covering all bases.
All right, let's see if this. Our cultural, is that the whole? Is that
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, our cultural patrimony in the end is deeply tethered to our history. Oh, no, is this the middle?
Was this written by Thomas Jefferson? What the hell is that?
Yeah. Paul Scott. let's see. I don't want to read the whole fucking article.
No, it was just like a sentence when I read it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of like over the top, and it's like, don't call us racist because we put this out there. So ha, we got it before you could catch us.
That's probably why some movies are missing. Did you stop to think that the ones that you're saying aren't on there are like totally?
I really doubt that Angels in the Outfield could be deemed the one where the coach is a black man, and you know what I mean. Like, there's definitely portraying things that it was more productive than anything culturally for a lot of races in that film, and it was good with religion as well. Angels, man, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in that movie. That was one of my favorites growing up. There's like a scene, and I cannot, it's like one scene that it like brings me to tears laughing, but this because I think like I've just imagine this happening in real life and probably have seen it, but the kids like get some nachos and the guy that buys the nachos like accidentally sits on the nachos because they set it down for a second.
Yeah,
I was just like, that's just so funny because that's probably what somebody would really do if they weren't paying attention.
Yeah,
anyway,
oh my god, well that's lame that they would. I really hate like online publications have no, like, they're not real news. They're not real. No one's checking this shit.
They're all just clickbait, man. One thing
Why would
like,
you write an article about this and not say what that thing is? I just scrimmed through the whole thing. While
I hate the one where it's like,
it.
Hey, this actor from Grey's Anatomy just threatened to kill the president. And it's like, Janitor 6 from episode 3 was recently, like why would you care about that, really? Like, you make it seem like it was, like, one of the stars all the time. Oh, my God. It's just a waste of time. I don't even bother with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it hits, like, 4 or 5 news outlets and reaches my attention, that's probably when I'll read it.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Hanks, anyway.
Back to Tom Hanks. On the true.
He's gone on Grant Norton, and he's said that, like, you know, these characters are going places the real people didn't go. They're saying things the real people didn't say. And with that, you know, all being said, he definitely wants to make it as real as possible. How, as a filmmaker yourself, I feel like I would do almost a carbon copy of events if absolutely possible. And a lot of times in Hollywood, they're just like, well, what's good enough? And I'm like, well, I don't feel like it's worth it. Like, why bother tell the story?
So that's interesting. An interesting thought. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I mean, the real simplest answer is, it's almost impossible to do that, mostly because of what is left in the wake of true events. Not a record has always been kept of what everyone says. Like, you and I, like, say we were going to make a movie about, you know, when you say you and I went off to become, you know, famous in some light, some crazy story, and then they made a movie about you and I's our friendship back when you worked at the golf course and I would come by on my skateboard.
See, but
those
then...
details are known, and there's some videos that you could find of us doing those things, but there's not a count, like a detailed count recount of events. There's nothing.
But
there's no evidence.
I feel like they take it too far, because like what Hollywood would do is they'll make me a stripper and you a guy that flips signs around in the summer or something.
That is like, true that happens, but for the most part, like here's a good example. Like the movie Lincoln. The way in which they crafted and formulated conversations and put certain people in certain rooms at certain times and changed names and all of this was all for the good of better telling the narrative of what, like fulfilling the themes that the story is supposed to fulfill. So a lot of times it's for the better. And then, you know, online people will hack at this without thinking, okay, would the movie make any sense if these things didn't happen? That sometimes they have to change things around to inject a little bit of motive, because that's the thing that you can't really portray well in movies that happens in real life, is sometimes that's like what's wrong. That's why, you know, court proceedings take so long, is to really get down to someone's motives and reasons behind something. It's not always obvious. Sometimes people just have this like gray area of thought process. And or you say going back to the Lincoln analogy, it's like maybe Lincoln and some other senators had conversations that lasted on and off for several weeks for him to convince them to change their mind. They wouldn't portray that in a movie. It would be boring. So they just condense all of that into one conversation where he says some really brilliant shit and they're swayed. They're like, oh my God, I'm totally fucking smitten. That is an exact quote of somebody from 1770. I'm just kidding.
I'm the true.
I'm totally fucking smitten. But you see what I'm saying? Sometimes it's for the better of telling a great story and making it entertaining, but you're faithful to their intentions.
I would agree, but I would hope that you would agree with me on this. See, that makes sense, because the end result is the same. That yes. happened. Like, everything that spawned from that conversation, whether it was 1 or 10, still happened. But like, if you watch Pearl Harbor, which is one of my least favorite movies, Dan Aykroyd is like, well, if I was gonna do it, I'd do it at Pearl Harbor. That never fucking happened. Nobody ever said that. And so they make it look like, oh, these bullshit, you know, arrogant ass generals aren't listening to people when people, you know, no. It didn't happen that way. You're lying. So that didn't accomplish shit. That just made it look...
it just seemed dramatic in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It served no legit purpose. And
so that's to the bottom of the answer, is that there, you know, some people ask that question. And it ultimately shows. Movies like Pearl Harbor, people will continue to bash being... It's like bad cinema. And why
bad cinema. There was multiple Very reasons. Bad cinema.
I don't know. No ice cream for you. Bad cinema. Anyways, Tom Hanks.
Well, do you think he's crossed that line, or do you think he's done pretty much a good job with what you were saying?
You know, nothing too intense like what we were saying about... Well, here's a good example. I could be wrong on this. I need to do more research. But I saw the post, and again, I said it was a bad movie, but it is worth watching because it is a historical event, something important. It's about the conspiracies and going on during the Nixon administration, I think, and it was about the Washington Post at the time. And these echoed a little bit something you might be familiar with, which is All the President's Men.
So was this like a Watergate kind of incident? Or?
Yeah, okay. Yes. It was about the Watergate stuff, but it was about paperwork. It was about a part, just a small part.
Like a cover-up?
Big
or?
Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It was all conspiracy theory stuff. And the same thing happened in All the President's Men. But I think that if you go back that far, people don't talk about that movie, but it was pretty fucking amazing at the time. I think All the President's Men, I think it won Best Picture.
That's usually regarded as a pretty well done film.
But it's a revolutionary movie in the sense that it was at the time. It's like, I think it came out like 5 years after the Nixon shit. It was like really fast. Like they turned it around and they wrote a whole movie about it. And it won a bunch of awards and it got a lot of attention on that subject. But it was one of the prime examples of, first of all, it was one of the first movies that covered at length a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
With like, and it was really one of the first movies that was like a reporter hell bent on getting the truth. And that's like become its own genre, like subgenre now. You know, we think there's like a lot of great movies that do that. And The Post is kind of one of those. Man, I'm fucking trailing off here. Anyways, at least it was entertaining. Tom Hanks.
But I don't think you're trailing off too fast or too bad because he's...
No, yeah.
It seems like he keeps things pretty well in check and he does the work.
It's not Tom Hanks that does it, though. Filmmakers in the right... It really comes down to the writing where things get really askew. And it could be producers in a room that are really like, well, that would be great if we put a dog in this movie. And it's like...
I think Tom Hanks is the guy that's like... You know, he's not, I think he's like the perfect kind of actor. He's not the one who's like, I'm not going to say this. I'm going to wait in my trailer. But I think he'll be like, hey, this would never happen. And like, I think that's why he chooses to work with Steven Spielberg and things like that, because they're open to ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where it comes from with the directing as well. But I think it really is the actor, because he's the one that's portraying it, and it's like, if it doesn't work whatsoever, he's got to open his mouth, and it seems like Tom Hanks is somebody that, I mean, why would he keep doing it if this wasn't true? Because they're not like huge blockbuster movies, these ones that, you know, Captain Phillips wasn't something that like rivaled Avengers or anything, so... It's not for just the money. He must really enjoy playing real people and paying respect to a story.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just it really comes down to in regards to that manipulation of the story. It comes down to writing, but like Tom Hanks, it does have the choice, at least in the very beginning. He's like, I'm going to take this role because I think it's faithful to the truth, you know? But I don't know.
Do you think it's right for filmmakers to, I mean, you already kind of explained, like, sometimes it does serve a purpose, but let's, you know, step outside that. Do they have the right to take liberties to make it entertaining, or should it just be left alone if they can't do it the right way?
There's a third option, and because I don't think it's right, but the right option, if you are going to take liberties, so here's a good example. I'll tell you an actual true example in my own future experience. I'm going to work on this thing. There's a book that was handed to me 5 years ago or something. It's called Vigilante Victims, and I went and visited the area where it happened, and these people in Virginia City, Montana, everyone that lives and breathes in the town kind of knows the story of the vigilante victims. And it's like this epic tale of vigilante justice in the West. And it's like a really good story. And there was some documentaries made about it. No one's made a feature film about it. But the reason why is because the story... Going back to why, you know, they would, a filmmaker would, you know, bend the truth a little bit to fit to a narrative, is this story kind of has no real solid motive or starting point, and then it just kind of ends with a bunch of people dying. And it's a tragic tale. Sounds great in documentary form, but you it's kind of hard to weave into a narrative story where you have a character that you can follow or an ensemble that you can root for. It's kind of hard. So I started to craft a outline for a story based on a couple of key characters that interest me. And I had to weave it. And along the way of weaving this, I'm like, I'm just going to change all of the names and the name of the town and use the story, but I'm not going to say anything about it being based on true events because I would be lying. See?
But so that's it what I'm really, saying. It's like, then you don't do it. That's
the duty. Well, no, yeah. You still do it. If it's a great story and a great idea, there's a certain point and you should know, as it should be a personal moment for the writer to know that, okay, this is no longer based on true events. This is just a fictitious story.
When I say don't do it, I'm saying don't say this is a true story. Don't portray this to be accurate information. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is that some people think, and they get caught, especially if you have, say you have a production company that buys the rights to the story of the Wright brothers, and then they're going to make this fucking Wright brothers epic, and then they hire this writer, and he writes this amazing fucking story where they put fucking Gatling guns on the fucking plane, and they have to shoot some Nazis. It's like, obviously it's not the story, but it's fucking cool, and so what do? It's the production company is going to want to fucking stick to those rights that they bought. See, that's therein lies the problem. It's really the bureaucracy of it all. Ends up getting you get movies like fucking, you know, Pearl Harbor.
I guess you sold your rights, like, therefore you don't have any.
That's actually a true story, by the way, ish. I know I'm treading in thin waters or thin ice, whatever.
The Wright brother fans.
A true story thing.
Out there.
But it is, well, not the Gatling gun of the Nazis, but no, the existing family members of the Wright brothers have been holding on to the rights of the Wright brothers.
The rights.
So that's why we haven't seen a really good Wright brothers movie, which I think that'd be fucking cool. And I knew... years back, I knew somebody who knew the family members, and they were talking about selling the rights. And I didn't get the meeting, but I was trying to set up a meeting because I had an idea for a Wright Brothers biopic. That was like an idea for my own career. So that's why I brought that up.
Fair enough.
And my version involved Gatling guns and Nazis, so. Anyways, Tom Hanks.
Well, I think this has been a very informative, compact episode, and I'd hate to drag it out because I feel like we're right there in that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Next week, we will be talking about Knives Out. And this is kind of a big thing for me because I really like this director, but I hate one of his movies, is the thing. He made the last...
I guess we're going to have to find out next week, huh?
He made Last Jedi, and he made this wonderful film, Brick. And so he's kind of back to something not, you know, $100 million budget film, which I'm kind of optimistic about. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. I guess we'll... I was about to start rambling about it, but I guess we'll wait until next week.
You can ramble all you want. Ramble away.
Ramble on.
You ramble. Oh, Rambo. Ramble? Nah, doesn't sound
Rambo.
Right.
Crambo.
Oh, talking about Stallone, though, because, you know, we brought him up a few times. There's going to be a freaking remake of Cliffhanger, and they got Jason Momoa up for the role.
Oh, that sounds cool. Okay. I'm down for that. I'm all for Jason Momoa's career. I just want him to get away from Aquaman. Wasn't a big fan of that, but all of his other stuff, like I don't like that it seems to be that he's like a fucking brute caveman and everything. I feel like you can have long hair and a beard and not be a caveman at the same time. Like, I feel like he could play something else.
Did you watch the Bad Batch?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's like a very good piece of art that he's in. It's on Netflix, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
But the director, she is a wonderful director, and she made that film, and she's paving the way for female directors, I feel. So check that out, you know? We're not paid by them, just opinions, so.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Check out our articles, you know? Read them.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, subscribe.
You, person listening to this. I got nothing. But check out our stuff.
Jordan makes colorful pictures for those that enjoy those while they read. Just saying.
Speaking of that, that's my next. That's my thing this evening. I gotta drop that the newest one for your what's that article about? It'll be out by the time. It'll be out today.
It
or
will
tomorrow.
Be about loving the art, not the artist.
Yeah. I gotta doodle that. I gotta get that doodle out.
And you doodle away.
Doodle myself.
Stay golden, pony boy. All right. Let's end it there. Have a good night.